Season 4, Episode 16, What a Dump. It opens up with Sip and Simone going to a DOA, and Sipowicz talks about his first assignment, which is, I guess, marshal duty at the airport overnight.
Oh, yeah.
So he's complaining that he's going to have to wait for Nigerians to shit out drugs.
Balloons, right? Doesn't he talk about balloons?
Yeah, he says, spend the night holding hands with Nigerian drug mules till they move their bowels. Because that's apparently what you do at the airport if you're working overnight.
Well, if you're a marshal, is that what you do when you're a marshal?
This is also something, they never talk about him having a second job, really. He said he would get one so Sylvia could be with the baby, but they don't really say.
Yeah, that's not really, other than this episode, it's never really a talked about thing anymore.
I don't know if, because the scene where he is doing this job is the end of the episode. I don't know if they like wrote that scene and they're like, man, this scene's really rad. We got to figure out a way to put it in. And then to be like, well, let's just say he has a second job or he has marshal duty or something.
Yeah. It is weird, but they do that with a lot of things.
Where they just mention it once.
This guy kind of offhand mention it, and they never talk about it again. But then, like, later on down the road in a later episode, it'll come up just randomly because it's like, oh, we want to do the opposite now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
The DOA in question is a woman.
What is a marshal, though? Have we done that research?
No, we haven't done that research.
Can we get one of our producers on it? Like, what is a marshal?
You
want to
call
do?
Mike?
Because wasn't Tommy Lee Jones a marshal in
U.S. Marshals?
Well, that and in
Fugitive.
Yeah, fuck U.S. Marshals. That's the sequel. But Fugitive,
is that the sequel?
It is. I thought it was a sequel because he plays the same person.
I didn't know that. I don't think I've even seen The Fugitive.
Yeah, I think. Well, you're an idiot. Fugitive is great. That's a Tommy Lee Jones' heyday.
The
I didn't do it.
That was the Tommy Lee Jones.
I don't care.
Such a good Tommy Lee Jones impression.
But what is a marshal?
I don't know.
He makes it kind of feel like it's not that important. Whereas in The Fugitive, he's a marshal and he's running down like a murderer across the state, you know?
And then in Con Air, what's his name? Lost his name, so the joke's already derailed.
Oh, Cusack.
John Cusack.
He's a field marshal.
He's a U.S. marshal.
Yeah, see, so what is a marshal?
What do they do?
What's the ranking of it?
Could someone who listens to our show, could they contact us with what exactly a U.S. marshal does so we don't have to be so confused?
Now, is Sipowicz a U.S. marshal?
I don't know.
Or is he just... Yeah, see?
It doesn't make any sense. He's a New York detective.
He's marshaling at night.
Yeah, is it like mall copping?
But he's not because he's at the airport dealing with drugs.
Anyway... The DOA has her panties pulled down and her pubic hair ripped out and has no purse. And they talk to the guy who found her, which is a garbage man.
Who rips pubic hair out?
Someone trying to make it seem like they raped somebody. Spoiler ahead.
No good way. Someone's spoiling it, Kirk.
She has bruises around her thighs, according to Sipowicz, and her pubic hair is ripped out. He has a bit of a testy moment with the guy that found the body, who is a garbage man, because he's like, do I take the garbage? Do I not take the garbage? What do I do? And Sipowicz is like, don't take the garbage. And he like rolls his eyes. And sometimes when Sipowicz is upset, he forgets that people don't see dead people every day.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like the guy's got to do his job, too.
And so Sipowicz is like, oh, God, don't take the trash.
But he's being like, I don't know, he's just being an old man.
And then the guy says, what's going on with people in this world? And he says, I'm going to ask myself that same question tonight when I'm washing crap off of smack balloons. What I love about that quote is the guy he's talking to has no reference of what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So he's just like, why is he yelling at me about?
Yeah.
And then just to be playful and to keep things... a little less angry, Simone takes a picture of Sipowicz and says, let's not get testy.
Yeah, he lightens the mood.
He lightens the mood. And then we get to the theme song of NYPD Blue. This is NYPD Blue Balls, where two brothers, my voice being Kirk, the other voice being Kyle, go through every single episode of NYPD Blue. And this is the theme song to NYPD Blue. After the theme song, Martinez catches Medavoy making a peanut butter sandwich with what looks like a bagel. He's freaking out about this dinner with Abby. If you remember last episode, he's going to dinner with Abby, the known lesbian and friend of Medavoy.
Yeah, they met at the gym.
And she said, we have something to discuss that's important, and he's freaking out about it.
Why was he freaking out again? Because it's like, what was his worst case scenario, he thought? Because what's the worst that's going to happen?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Her and her partner, like, ask you for a three-way?
See, that's the weird thing, is he's eating, and then...
It's either three-way, or what we find out at the end of this episode they ask for.
No, they don't even ask at the end of this episode.
That's right. It's just a meet and greet.
It's just a meet and greet. It's just a, hey, what's going on?
So it's either those two options.
And they have a discussion where Martinez and Medavoy are like, well, maybe she's changed her mind. And then Medavoy says, she doesn't seem iffy on her lesbianism, which is just a fun...
Well, I think that was the writer's way of kind of establishing, thing. Like, look, we don't think lesbians just jump back and forth.
We fucked up with Lesniak.
Yeah, we've already put that in twice, so we're going to make sure we nip this here now.
They get a DOA... Well, not a DOA. They get a firing off a bus where a woman and a child were shot.
Shots fired.
Shots fired. Yes, off of a bus. And there's this joke about murdering Mr. Peanut that I'm pretty sure the writers really patted themselves on the back. Fancy says, I never really got into Chunky. So he's like, should we get smooth?
Yeah.
And he says, I don't need the temptation.
Yeah.
And he's like...
By the look of his wife, he didn't get into Chunky either.
Because she's thin.
That's a lot of Activia. Isn't she an Activia chick?
I think so. She's a Devil's Advocate chick. We know that for sure. And an SVU chick.
I don't like these greens.
Just to go along with the different stories here, with the Sipowicz and Simone case, they get the husband's name of the DOA because he filed a missing persons report of a woman with a similar description. Of Marina Dawkins, and that he was coming over. But Sipowicz and Simone want to check out if this DOA is connected with a set of rapes and murders that were done in the 17th. So they call over the 17th and see if they could talk to their perp, who has already admitted to two rapes and two murders.
Yeah.
When they get there, they meet Gerard.
Is that the Revenge of the Nerds dude?
That is the Revenge of the Nerds dude. Robert Carradine. Who's famous for Revenge of the Nerds, and I thought other shit, and it turns out not really.
No, it's just Revenge of the Nerds and, like, random TV shows. Was his brother the Carradine who hung himself while, like, jerking off?
I didn't look that up. Mostly because I didn't...
Are they related somehow? Isn't his name, like, Billy Carradine or something like that?
I do know that when I saw the name Robert Carradine in the credits before the episode, I was like, oh, shit, is that the dude that hung himself? And then when I saw his face, I was like, oh, no, it isn't.
Are they related somehow?
Isn't it David Carradine?
Whatever. David Billy. Boring-ass name.
I don't know if they're related. Gerard's worried about the movie. He's wondering who's going to play him.
Well,
he wants
obviously
to...
the Revenge of the Nerds dude.
He wants to talk about the movie rights, and they said, what about Tom Cruise? Which is awkward because there's a Tom Cruise reference in the next episode, too. So NYPD Blue is all about Tom Cruise.
And Tom Cruise has been popular for a long time.
He essentially says, hey, look, I raped and murdered two women. I didn't rape and murder your third. And they give him every out to admit it. And he even says, do you want me to say that I did it? And they're like, well, no, not if you didn't. He's like, well, then I didn't do it. So it's clear that Gerard probably didn't do it because...
Do you feel like he's done any of them? I feel like he's just there to try to get famous.
Well, I think he did because, I mean, even though he's an actor in a TV show, but he said that he killed those women because one of them told him to through the vibe she was getting off. Mm-hmm. He was getting messages from her. And the other one, he just messed up and did another one. But the way he freely admitted to it after he was caught gives me the impression he did do those two, but he didn't do this one. And even the detective was like, yeah, he was totally down to give us all the info on the first two, so maybe he didn't do these.
Oh, okay. I forgot that. I don't remember him. Someone saying all of that, that he like gave all of the info freely and it matched.
Sipowicz did that one joke where he asked about if he liked Berkowitz, Son of Sam, because he talked to dogs. And he said, you listen to humans, so you're higher up on the evolutionary scale. And Gerard responded with a genuine, yeah, I guess I am.
I don't know. When I think about that scene, I just feel like he didn't commit any of the murders. All he was talking about was like the movie, who was going to play him.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like that's all he cared about. And so
you think it was just a smoke job because he wants the credit.
Yeah.
For rape and murder.
Mm-hmm.
All
right. He wants the popularity.
They come back to the house where a Earl Dawkins is there waiting for him. And I thought that I recognized that guy from something. He's a character actor that's been in a bunch of stuff. His name's Chris Hallahan. And the reason I recognized him, he's been in The Thing and Dawson's Peak, but I recognize him as the owner of the Barons, the AAA baseball team in Space Jam that Michael Jordan plays on.
Did you just say Dawson's
Dante's Peak? Did I say Dawson's Peak? Or
yeah, you said Dawson's Peak.
Well, you know, with Pacey and with all them.
Pacey and the volcano.
Pacey and the volcano. He's really worried, and he's really worried.
The husband, yeah.
Yeah. He breaks down when they suggest they have to go to the morgue for him to identify the body. He gets down there and confirms that it is the body, and kind of loses his breath, and then demands to get some air, and doesn't want to sign anything, and then just leaves.
This is his girl.
Weirdly, which I didn't notice till the second time I watched it, he asked if she was raped.
Oh, that's a weird question.
Like, he says, that's her, kind of breaks down like anyone would, and then he's like, do you know who did this? He's like, we don't know, and then he goes, was she raped?
It's a weird question.
Knowing what we know about who actually did it and him knowing information, he probably asked because he wanted to make it, the person who did it wanted to make it look like a rape. Didn't succeed because they did a test to prove that she wasn't in fact raped.
It is just weird, like, it's such a weird thing to, like, ask.
Because, yeah, I would imagine if, like, a female friend of mine was a part of an investigation and they're like, oh, well, we have a body. Could you identify it? Female friend or loved one or family member. And then I see them and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's them. They're dead. My first thought wouldn't be, let's ask if they were raped.
Yeah, let's ask if this other horrible thing happened to them.
Like, I would be more like, okay, do you know who did it? What's going on? Not, hey, so what are the details of the horrible thing that happened to my loved one? So. Yeah. They head back to the house where Gina gives them the note, and the note says strangulation, and while her pubic hair and her lower carriage were bruised, she was not raped.
Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, after Earl confirms that it's his wife, they take him back and they don't get much information out of him. It's said in like an offline as they head to a restaurant where his wife worked, mm-hmm. that for someone who worried about his wife, he didn't really give up much information. They said, no, only where she worked. And they walked into this restaurant, and the woman who's working at the restaurant is kind of rude and short with them until they mention that Marina was murdered. And then she lets them know, oh, there's this young man that waits for her outside. He came in once or twice or three times before. His name is Vitali. And they usually walk together to the bar after work. So where most people would smell a possible infidelity situation.
Mm-hmm.
Sipowicz asks if she was Russian.
Asks if the girl was what, Russian, or if the person he was talking to is Russian.
She asks if the girl was Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Sipowicz is obviously a little irritable this whole episode, but he gets short with her when she says, I can't believe it, and he says, then don't. She mentions that Vitali sits on the corner for her, and then Sipowicz gets super racist because the woman says, oh my gosh, what's wrong with this country? And Sipowicz says, too many people from other countries screw it up. To which Simone responds, Detective Sipowicz here is one of those few Native American Poles.
Yeah, and Sipowicz gives him like a dirty look.
Like an annoyed look.
Like a, really?
Yeah.
Do you gotta mention that I'm a hypocrite?
True.
Sipowicz and Simone bring back Vitaly, who's very, very aggressive, saying, you're not gonna listen to the Russian, you just want to arrest the Russian, just put the handcuffs on me. He drops the knowledge that Marina's husband bought her out of a catalog and had her shipped over, and that he's abusive in some ways, expects cooking and cleaning, hits on her, and then expects, what did he call, sex, like, because he's Russian, he says something like,
I'm trying to remember.
Like sexual therapy? No, he says, I don't know if I wrote it down.
I know what you're talking about, but this guy, I think, is a famous face.
You do? Because I didn't recognize him at all.
If it's the guy I'm thinking about.
During the interrogation, he talks about how she's sending money back to her family, or he's sending his money back to his family in Chernobyl. And Sipowicz says, oh, do the letters come back with a green glow on them? Which I thought was awkward. And incredibly timely due to the HBO miniseries Chernobyl.
That's really funny. That's really funny.
They come back with a green glow on them.
Did you hear Russia's making their own?
Yeah.
It's calling this the freedom. It's like the patriotic freedom one version or something like that.
Because according to them, they're going to entertain this crazy conspiracy theory that a CIA agent caused Chernobyl.
I mean, whatever. Maybe it did. We don't know.
This is where they get the info that there was no rape after they talked to Vitaly. They ask Earl to come back in light of the new information about their marriage. And on his way in, he hits a cop car because he's drunk.
Doesn't he hit Sipowicz's car?
No, he hits a uniform car. And the uniform officer's, like, really pissed off. Like, kind of.
Should be.
And it's really clever because Simone is trying to smooth everything out between the uniform cop and Earl. Because he wants to get Earl upstairs without any worry because they now suspect him. And Sipowicz uses that moment to just search his car. Because he left his car door open, and Sipowicz just rolls in and starts looking and finds Marina's handbag. And also finds the bottle of booze he's probably been drinking.
Is that an illegal search?
I don't know. Because technically it's him investigating the accident that happened.
I'm trying to remember if when he's interrogating him, what he says, how he found the purse.
He says it because he says it as they leave the car, which is they start walking back into the house. Mm-hmm. And Sipowicz says, it looks like your wife's purse dislodged from underneath your seat during the accident. And he's like, oh, I don't know how that could have got there. She must have left it in there. He's like, okay, that's cool. Let's go talk about it upstairs. And what I found really funny about the scene is the uniform guy is still pissing about the paperwork. And I think even Simone, when he's talking to him, is like, yeah, we'll take care of that. Can we just get him upstairs, please? Because we need to talk to him. And like kind of wants to give him the eyes to get him to pay attention. And he's just like, yeah, but what about the paperwork? What about my car?
I feel like that's an illegal search. I know it's a weird thing to be stuck on, but
you feel like it's illegal to use that,
like,
evidence?
What was the point of search? Like, they had no evidence really against him. That's the evidence that they use. You know what I mean? Like, they have no hard evidence. They only have
speculative.
Yeah. They have hearsay by the guy, Vitaly.
Who's saying that he's abusive.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I see some shady stuff going on.
And keep in mind, the dude's drunk and he's drunk driving. So do they have the right to look into his car? He also hit an officer.
I know, but
I think it's different because he hit a cop car.
I don't know.
Because if you hit a cop car, the cop car is going to be, the cop in the car is going to be like, well, let's take a look around here and see what you did. And I don't think anyone's going to really
don't know. It doesn't feel right.
They take him in for interrogation. As they bring him... I wrote this down because I found it funny. Because sometimes in NYPD Blue, I find phrases I want to use in life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one that I would never want to use where Dawkins yells, "He backed into me," and the cop says, "I backed into Dick." Not really something you want to shout into the middle of the street. And then the scene after that, they're bringing him into the room, and I want to start using, "Looks like you had quite a snootful." Implying that he's drinking.
That's what you want to use?
"He looks like he had quite a snootful."
That's the phrase you need to use for the rest of your life.
I think so. They ask, "How did she forget her purse?" He says, basically, "Oh, she left it in my car when she went to work. Maybe that's why she didn't actually go to the movies." Sipowicz says, "Women will forget their purse like we would forget our right arm." It's like, that doesn't make any sense. I've dealt with drunk women falling over that remember their purse.
Yeah, well, that's just a... what's the word? It's just a stereotype. Or that's just a... I'm just assuming that all women don't forget their purse, you know?
Well, I would say a lot of women don't forget their purse. It's a pretty safe thing to assume, because that's like basically their entire life in a bag.
Yeah, then why are they always like missing purses and bags at like clubs and bars at night?
Well, it's because they're drinking.
Or do you know how many times I've had like bags brought to me at work being like, "Someone left this"?
Typically they don't, and I would say it's because of the drinking in clubs and bars.
I don't know, but when I come at you with evidence...
Alright, fine. Anyway, they use this as a tool to get him to slowly reveal that he actually strangled her, because he was upset because she's going to take everything he has in a divorce when he spent all this money just to get her into the country.
Mail order bitches.
I know. If anything, this is a really big advertisement to not mail order your brides.
Exactly. Don't do it. Just steal them.
It was a fairly good interview, because he slowly breaks down, and he was sympathetic in the beginning, and then you find out, oh, he literally strangled her in a car, and then he tried to make it seem like the rapes and murders of that other guy, Gerard, because he was on the news.
Yeah, he's kind of a lunatic. You realize that pretty slowly.
And he, I believe he said, couldn't rape her to make it look good, because he still loved her too much. Which, you know, I don't tend to murder the people I love, so I don't know how that makes sense.
That's weird. That's a weird statement. Couldn't rape her to make it look good, because he loved her too much.
What's very strange is it seems the main investigation is actually Medavoy's. Because the shooting on the bus, they head down there, and Abby...
She's catching heat.
She's the... she's not in uniform, but she's the officer that locks down the bus. Because there were shots from the bus which hit a woman and a boy, and they're in critical condition.
Is she a captain? No, right?
No.
So she's not a captain lesbian?
What the hell does that even mean? Does that make sense to you?
like Captain Marvel.
Captain
Lesbian.
I'm gonna let that one slide. I'm
a little frustrated. Not one of these lesbians has like a short haircut.
You're jumping ahead to the final scene where we reveal Abby's girlfriend. What is her name? Kathy.
Kathy. Yeah, I remember the way she says Kathy is a funny way.
By the way, Abby is played by Paige Turco, April O'Neil in the latter two of the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live action
trilogy. Not the first one, though.
Not the first one. There are two different April O'Neils. It's important to know that.
Yeah.
She's breaking down what happened to Medavoy and Martinez so they can start their investigation, and they kept the people on the bus because they suspect some of the people on the bus are running buddies with the gentleman doing the shooting. And one of the dudes on the bus is a famous face, Michael Pena.
Pena.
Pena. Would it pain you to just let it pass? Why do you have to be such a pain in my ass? Speaking of in asses, he's mostly...
I borrow a pen, yeah?
Come on, a pen, yeah?
He's mostly a famous face right now for being a part of the Ant-Man movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Did you ever see Ant-Man?
Yes. I saw both Ant-Man and Wasp.
Supposedly, there's like a 10-minute clip of him doing the whole 10 years of Avengers.
Yeah. It's probably going to be on the Blu-ray for Endgame.
I'm not going to buy Endgame, so I'll just wait till someone puts it on YouTube.
He's really funny in those movies.
Yeah, he was super funny in Chips.
Yeah, he was also in Chips. He's in a couple different movies. He's one of those dudes that's been in a little bit of everything.
He's in Crash, wasn't he?
Yep, I think so.
But super funny in Chips.
He's on the bus, and he's screaming that he wants off. And when Abby tells him to shut up, I don't know why this is how a person thinks. He's like, oh, she's hard. What, you a dyke? You like girls or something? So Medavoy...
Is that exactly what he said?
It's close to it. I didn't write down the exact quote, but he makes a comment about her being...
I think the exact quote was, hey, do you think you're some Captain Lesbian over here?
All right, Kyle. He makes a dyke comment. Greg goes a little too hard.
Greg goes from like zero to like... 20. Ginger angry, like real fast.
He goes from zero to ginger angry, he says.
Zero to cinnamon. Real quick.
And the guy says, look, you're infringing on my rights. And he's like, you're messing with my rights. He says, I'll mess with more than that if you don't keep a decent mouth about you. They talk to the bus driver, who says that he locked the doors once he knew cops were around. But the dude who did the shooting put the gun to his face to get off the bus. But he locked down as many people as he could, and he believes some of his running buddies are on the bus. They mention that they have to bring all of those people into the house for questioning, and...
Which, that's a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. It's also weird because Greg takes another second to be like, if that guy keeps talking again, I'm gonna make him hurt. He says that to Martinez for, like, no reason.
Yeah, he just has to let everyone know that he's down to ride for Abby.
He's down to ride?
Yeah.
He's
gonna...
When they bring all the people to the house, Martinez has got a guy named Ronaldo, and he ain't talking. And Martinez is trying to go the hard route. Russell is trying to appeal to the guy's humanity, and his name is Jose. And it ends with her doing a Biff Tannen, where she knocks on his head. Hello? Is anybody in there?
Think, McFly, think.
And then, something that doesn't make sense to me, Medavoy has Ferd, the guy that was making the comments. What makes anyone think that's a good idea?
Yeah, I mean, they do that all the time. The Sipowicz talks to people that he has anger issues with.
And it's like, dude.
And he probably said, hey, I want to talk to him.
And with Ferd, he's like pretending to be hard, and then he settles down to be like, okay, so what happened? And then just because it seems Ferd is like an idiot, he tells him the name of the guy that they shot at and reveals that it all started after the word puta had been thrown around, which I don't know how to say correctly, obviously.
Say it again. Puta.
Puntas? I thought they were something that happened in football. Punta. I'm not going to say it right, okay? I'm very white.
But I'm still caught up on the first way you said it. Because they were like, punta. Puta. Stupid puto.
Yeah, like Medavoy calls him a pussy.
I think that's what puta means.
Which is awkward. It's clear he's...
Or bitch. I think puta might mean bitch.
And he's clearly way too upset to even talk to him. The guy lets him know about the punta thing. Putas, I don't know.
Puta.
Puta.
Pumas? I don't know if I'm saying it right, but now I'm just laughing at us just bouncing puta back and forth.
See, that's the best part. We can say it all we want because we're definitely not going to offend anybody because it doesn't sound like the word.
We're probably offending tons of people. Puta means like pussy or bitch too, so we're just constantly yelling that back and forth to each other.
While they're both frustrated, he gives up Madonka's name. This is another Spanish name that I'm probably saying wrong, but I wrote it down from the captions.
Madonka?
It was like Mendonca, and I know that's not how he pronounced it, but that's how I'm going to pronounce it because it's all I can do. Medavoy takes that information and is like, well, you're going to have to wait here, and basically threatens him again. And Ferd says, oh, you sound evil. You must be coming back with somebody else. Implying that he doesn't have the stones to throw down. So then he actually puts his hands on him and retches him up from the seat. And says, I'm going to come back and you better answer my questions with a polite tongue or you're going to be one sorry Puerto Rican.
Yeah, you got to get the race involved.
Yeah.
It's just funny. The show does that every now and then. Or to show that they're angry, they just be like, you better pay attention. I'm going to come in here for your African-American ass.
What's awkward, too, is the scene with them after that. He's just eating more peanut butter. Martinez lets him know, oh, that guy that he mentioned is over at the hospital. He took one shot, and we're going to go talk to him. And then Medavoy just takes another opportunity to say this Ferd guy's an asshole, yeah, and we're going to let him sit.
He's really, 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 really upset with Ferd.
Ferd is not the word. And
no, Kirk, the bird's the word.
They go down to the hospital, and they meet with Madonka. I'm going to say it wrong. I don't care. I'm going to say it wrong.
Madonka-donk?
Madonka-donk, but his girlfriend's got a big ass. They call it Madonk's donk.
What?
Exactly. Madonka's being very tight-lipped about the entire situation. He's like, look, I'm not going to give anybody up. I'm not going to say anything. And then Medavoy does the thing where he tries to appeal to him because he's like, well, look, you're not the only one. A woman and boy got shot and looks like one of them might die. And he says, tough. And Medavoy goes, oh, tough. And then takes a phone book and just smashes the dude in the head.
Is Martinez there for this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
Because Martinez is the one that's like, you're a call. We're going to get you for throwing a bottle through a window, which is kind of like code for, we need to get him out of here so he doesn't start telling the hospital staff that I just got hit in the head with a phone book. And the guy's like, look, his name is Luis Ugalde. He says, look, Luis Ugalde is the one that shot me. Because he's like, look, I got shot. Now I got hit in the head with a phone book. And he gives up the name, and then Martinez pulls Medavoy over, and he's like, look, so I don't think anybody saw that, so we're going to let him walk, and hopefully everything's cool. And Medavoy starts apologizing, and then Martinez is like, look, man, you got results. The name.
Martinez is just trying to be a bro. I'm just trying to, because I bet you Medavoy is kind of like regretting it, and Martinez knows that, and so Martinez is like trying to be like, hey, it's all right, like, you got an answer, like, maybe don't do it again, but, you know, we got the answer we're looking for, you know, shit
just,
like that.
Just relax. Yeah. And because this Madonk dude doesn't really understand how it works, he just is like, okay, fine, cool.
Yeah.
Just like, even though he could be like, oh, I want to file a complaint. When they go to pick up Ugalde, Russell first checks in with Simone to prove that they're still okay, because we know they've been on rocky ships.
Yeah.
Then, as they're walking out,
they're like in the ship in the perfect storm.
As they're walking out, Medavoy is like, oh man, I'm just not right. It must be the sugar imbalance. And Martinez is like, maybe
such a fucking idiot.
And then Martinez is like, maybe you should drink a little water to flush it out. And he's like, I don't need your help, Martinez. Enough with the Dear Abby. Like, just screams at him. It's like, shit, man. All he did was suggest you have some water.
Or maybe you're menopausing.
When they go pick up Louise, who's on a corner, they pick him up. They use two cars and four people. Russell, Medavoy, Martinez, and then some other guy we've never seen before.
Two cars, four people, eight legs, eight arms.
And good math. And
eight eyes.
When they pick up Luis, they...
six balls.
Greg smashes Luis's head on the...
But eight ovaries. Think about it.
Medavoy slams his head a couple times into the... into the car.
Yeah, Medavoy takes on this, like, hey, I'm a badass role.
And he does this thing where he's like, put your head on the car, slam. Put your head on the car, slam again.
He tries to be Sipowicz.
And even Martinez is like, hey, Greg, calm down.
Yeah.
We're outside.
Martinez is like, yeah. Whereas earlier, Martinez was giving him the calm down, but in a supporting way. Now, Martinez is giving him the calm down, but in like a, hey, this is going to look really bad.
When they bring him into the interrogation room, he says he's with a woman. And they're like, okay, great. Well, we're going to need you to stand in a lineup. He's like, I'm going to stand in a lineup. And then he takes a Polaroid. Martinez takes a Polaroid picture of him, and he flips off the camera. So Martinez slaps him upside the head.
Yeah.
And Luis goes, that was a good one, G. And he's like, don't flip the bird on the premises. And then walks away. It's weird because
Wait, what was that?
What?
Gay.
What's also weird is
premises.
You
can't slap a guy with a phone book and then use the word premises.
You can only do that if you use a dictionary.
Exactly.
He
or thesaurus.
He. What I love about Medavoy in these scenes, now we're at like three times it's happened where he straight up hit a guy and then he looks around like he's turning into the Hulk, where he's like, what? Oh.
No, I think he's. I think he looks around to see how everyone reacts because he knows what he's doing is wrong.
Because there's a part of me that's like, oh, look, it's. Because even Martinez, when he gets yelled at the stairs, he's like, oh, it looks like Mr. Jekyll was wolfing some too much peanut butter, and just makes fun of him. It seems like Medavoy is doing this thing where he's like, I can't control it now. I can't control it. It's out.
Yeah, he had a taste for it. That's why.
Martinez asks Medavoy if it's okay, if he's okay with going at Luis, and wants to go a little sweeter on him, thinking that the aggressive approach isn't going to get it done. And Medavoy gets upset with that. Martinez starts the interrogation being like sweet, trying to understand his point of view, and Medavoy is pacing like he's upset in the corner, kind of like almost like imitating a Sipowicz. Where he's like, he's the one that's going to spring.
Yeah.
They get to the part where the guy's talking about them calling him Puta. that word we love to say here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying things like, how does that make me a man? I just let a guy do that. And what's awesome about this argument, especially for a Medavoy and Martinez one, is they start arguing amongst each other while interrogating. Where Martinez is like, look, he wants to tell us what happened. How about you just let him do it? Medavoy keeps like shouting random things at him, and then eventually Medavoy just starts calling him this P word, which he thinks will help. And now Luis is like, I'm not writing a statement, I got nothing to say. Mm-hmm. When they leave the interrogation, Martinez confronts his stupidity, and he's like, well, what's the deal? Andy can break bad with all of his interrogations, but I can't. And Martinez says, Andy doesn't piss off a perp and walk out with his hand on his Johnson. Andy breaks bad with the guy, he comes out with a statement.
Yeah, he's doing the wrong thing at the wrong time.
And Metavoice makes some fucking stupid point where he says, the genie is now out of the bottle.
Yeah, what does that mean?
He's thinking, oh, I hit a guy, now I just have to hit guys. It's like Pringles.
Once you pop,
you just can't stop. So after the two investigations, the episode ends with this dinner. Oh, no, it doesn't end with this dinner. It's just right before the ending. But Medavoy goes to dinner with Abby. And he is just shouting about how he was beating people up all day in the restaurant. She has to kind of calm him down. And then through the talk, she's like, yeah, you were a bit over the line, but you were sticking up for me, which I appreciate, but you can chill out. I've been called things before, and I've been called worse, and I know how to deal with it. And then she brings up what she wants to do with Medavoy, and it's meet her girlfriend. Yes. Her lover is what she says. And there's a really awkward point where he says, sure, why not? Dinner at your place? What's the problem? And then he says, what course would I be? Now, am I to get from that he thinks that they're going to eat him alive or they're going to have a threesome?
No, I think he's asking, what course am I bringing to the dinner party? Am I bringing an appetizer? Am I bringing a dessert? Am I bringing a main course?
Because after he asked it, it got really awkward. He says, "What course would I be?" And then, like, she looks very weird at the...
I think he was trying to be funny slash, you know, ask a real question, and it just wasn't that funny.
And he also makes the statement, "Look, Abby, you're the first decisively gay woman that I've hung out with."
That's weird.
And I was like, is that just a fucking shit on Lesniak's character?
Yeah. But that's their. But if that's a shit on Lesniak's character, then they're shitting on themselves because they wrote it.
Exactly. That's why I was like, that's a very weird thing to say. Look, you're the first decisively gay woman. The other gay women I deal with aren't decisive. They're bitches.
And so, has Medavoy met people that have been like, I may be gay, I don't know. Like, I'm still trying to figure it out. Like, is that what he's saying?
Yeah, it was awkward. And then it ends with, he's like, look, everything's about context. Like, sometimes you hit guys and sometimes you don't hit guys. It depends on context. And sometimes you go to dinner with lesbians and their girlfriends. It just depends on context.
Yeah, sometimes you don't.
The episode actually ends with Sipowicz watching over drug mules who are trying to shit out drugs.
Oh yeah, this weird ass scene.
It seems at least to me completely out of left field to have this scene in it at all.
Mm-hmm.
You could have cut the Sipowicz talking about this and this scene and just extended others, and it would have been just fine. I don't know what point they were trying to make, but Sipowicz is talking to one of the guys who speaks English, because they both, the guys that are getting pumped full of...
One of the guys keeps talking, but they can't understand him.
Yeah, he's talking in his own language.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's trying to talk in the guy's language who's in the other bed, and it's a really cool scene. It just seems out of place, but it's really an interesting scene for anybody who wants to imagine being a refugee in a crisis. Like, I don't know why that would relate to anything that's going on right now. And how someone may want to come to this country and work hard, but the only way to get here is through less than legal means. But they do it to try and get to loved ones or a better opportunity. And Sipowicz, being a fucking dick for most of the scene, doesn't really think about it until the guy says it, that, like, I wasn't going to make any trouble. I wasn't going to do anything. I wanted to work and see see a woman that I love. And the guy he's talking to, I thought I recognized him, and I don't. His name is Sammy Rodaby, and apparently he's on more episodes of NYPD Blue.
Oh, he didn't look familiar to me.
So I thought I recognized him. The really awkward part of this scene is one of the guys that they don't understand, clearly had one of his balloons pop in his stomach, and he starts having kind of like a seizure. And the dude in the bed said, if that's cocaine, he's going to die. You got to get somebody here. And then the dude dies in the wheelchair, and the episode ends with Sipowicz holding his hand, and then he says, welcome to America. Which I think kind of should have been the title of this episode.
It had nothing to do with it.
Because we dealt with Russian immigrants and Sipowicz's comments about America, and then it ends with a different comment about America.
But it wasn't the main focal point. The main focal point was
Abby.
Abby and Medavoy's, like, anger thing.
But then why is the episode titled What a Dump?
Because they dumped the body.
I thought it was because the guys were dumping drugs.
What guys?
The guys in the beds with the X-lax.
No, I took it more like them dumping the body of the woman.
All right.
Because it was the main focal point.
Well, you said the main focal point was Abby and Medavoy.
Well, Kirk, then what do you want from this episode? What do you want from the shitting balloons, guys? What do you want from it?
Nothing.
What do you want from it?
I just thought Welcome to America would be a better title. Because it had to deal with
Emma. Nothing to do with it until like the last 2 minutes.
Well, except it had about a wealthy white dude who bought a Russian bride, and then it turns out the woman has her own thoughts and feelings and was going to divorce him and take some of his money, so he murdered her. And then that involves getting involved in the Russian population.
Is that like an American thing?
No, but it's
like,
about...
Is that an American thing for guys to get mail order brides and then kill them? Like, welcome to America, that's what's going to happen. No, that's not a thing.
Okay, well, the title is more ironic, like "Welcome to America, you could die at any moment" type of situation. But I mean, that was just my interpretation of the events. Obviously, you don't agree with them.
I just don't know what you want from it. I don't. The last 2 minutes is a weird 2 minutes for this episode. Like, it doesn't belong.
It is a little weird. Other than the last 2 minutes of just being weird, do you have anything else to say?
It's not like Sipowicz becomes apathetic or empathize with him or empathize towards other characters later on. He's still who he is, so. And that scene doesn't do anything.
And we don't ever see him really do it again, so it's like, what was that about?
What was the point?
Yeah, that's a good question. You have anything else to say about this episode?
No, not really.
Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AshForThisPodcast.com. It's on iTunes, which is now Apple Podcasts, because they're getting rid of iTunes. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you find a podcast. We're on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod. We're on Instagram, Asher Bros Podcast. Every episode's every other Tuesday, at least, I hope so. And have a good one. Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. As you can tell, this episode and a couple of future episodes will be recorded while me and Kyle were in the same room. I hope you like them. It created more challenges and made some things easier, but who knows, hopefully they're better in some ways for you. If you need more NYPD Blue goodness in your life, you could always check out Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue. You could check out True Blue, written about the first couple seasons. You could also get What Would Sipowicz Do?, a collection of articles written about the show throughout its entire history. If you need NYPD Blue, the show, in your life, you could always check out Hulu and Amazon Prime Instant Streaming. They both have every single episode on those services. If you could take a moment, please rate and review the show positively or negatively. I don't really care. But I guess it helps it in the algorithm to be seen, and if more people see this podcast on their podcast services, then they'll watch more NYPD Blue, and that's what this is really about. Get out there and watch more NYPD Blue. Peace.